Dear brothers and sisters, I greet all of you in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ, all who have come from near and from far, and likewise also all those who are joining us online right now. May the Lord bless us all from the riches of His grace. In particular, I would like to greet the brothers from Brazil, Pastor Eliezer and the pastor from a nice island in the north of Brazil. Then brothers from Portugal are in our midst. Then I've heard that brothers from Angola are in our midst, who are here for the first time. We welcome all of you, wherever you have come from. You have traveled far distances, but the Lord will reward you. To Him be the thanks and the glory. We have heard already precious songs and hymns, songs which speak of the grace of the Lord and of the salvation which is in the blood and wounds of Jesus. And this we cannot enough glorify, brothers and sisters. We cannot enough give praise and thanks to the Lord for that what He has done for us. Just feel at home in the house of the Lord. We are convinced that the Lord will bless us tonight richly. Let us sing a song, namely song number one from this little booklet. I will sing of my Redeemer, number one.
Von seiner Pilze, Kreuzes Weine, von seiner Lob und Dank.
Praise and thanks. Let us sing number 9. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Number 9. Thank you.
Ja, wir können
yes.
Immer wieder
time
Gnade
and again
rühmen,
we can glorify
Treue.
His grace and faithfulness.
Alles
he has become everything for us.
Leben,
he is our life, our sunshine,
Freude.
Our light, our joy. Brothers and sisters, if we really seriously think about it, only He can bring us
Nirgendwo
true joy, true peace, Nowhere we will find it in this world, not with men, but with the Lord. There is the full salvation. And we believe that also tonight the Lord will bless us richly from the rivers of love. Let us be in prayer. Let us tune in. Let us open our hearts. And let us be in expectation. And let us feast upon the heavenly manna, upon the spiritual food, eating it with joy. We are gathered at the table of the Lord, and he wants to bless us richly tonight. Now let us read a word for introduction, and then Brother Alfred Borg will pray with us. Let us read from Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1 from verse 21. I ask that we all stand up for it while we read the word. Colossians chapter 1 from verse 21. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now has he reconciled you in the body of his flesh through his death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. If ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. Up to here, this precious word of God. Let us pray together. Blessed Heavenly Father, we thank you for this evening, for this meeting. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for the precious word which we read together. Lord, we ask you together, work tonight in our midst. Work in our hearts. Come to your right in our midst. And everywhere where this meeting is transmitted, Lord, we ask you, give grace to speak, give grace to hear, give grace that we receive what you are telling us tonight. We thank you that you are present and that you are seeing our hearts, our deep desire, our longing which brought us to this place tonight. Please, Lord, work in a mighty way in our midst tonight. And if there are sick in our midst, heal them tonight. If there are bound ones, set them free. And if there are people in our midst who are still lost, save them tonight. We thank you. To you all things are possible. Also tonight we are looking up to you. We ask you together, strengthen our brother according to spirit, soul and body, so that he can preach your word in boldness, telling us what you want to say to us. We thank you for everything tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us sing the chorus. Oh, it is Jesus. Oh, it is Jesus. Oh, it is Jesus. Oh, it is Jesus. Oh, it is Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Ihr mögt euch setzen.
You may be seated.
Ich wusste nicht, ob noch
I didn't know whether there will be still a song sung for the glory of the Lord. It's just wonderful that in thousands of songs the redemption deed of our Lord, of our God, was sang about. And this really in all languages and nations.
Herzlichst willkommen.
Be welcome
in dem teuren Namen,
in the precious name of our Lord.
Und wie unser geliebter Bruder schon sagte,
and as our beloved brother said already,
we
welcome all of you from near and far.
Herzlichst willkommen. Wir haben Grüße.
We have greetings
aus Kinshasa.
From Kinshasa.
Aus Johannesburg,
from Johannesburg,
aus Pretoria,
from Pretoria,
aus Argentinien,
from Argentina,
aus Abidjan,
from Abidjan,
aus Neu Delhi,
from New Delhi,
from Bruder Etienne Genton,
from Brother Etienne Genton,
from Bruder Graf,
from Brother Graf,
from Bruder Inodi,
from Brother Inodi,
from Bruder Gilson,
from Brother Gilson,
from Bruder Kupfer,
from Brother Kupfer,
from Bruder Nyagi,
from Brother Nyagi,
aus Nairobi,
from Nairobi.
Ich weiß nicht, ob ich diesmal
I don't know
alle notiert habe.
Whether I noted down all of them.
Dann möchte ich den Besuch aus
Then I would like to welcome the visit
aus
from
Chile,
South America, from Chile and from Brazil. I would like to welcome them in a special way.
Aus der Kongo Republic,
from the DRC,
auch aus Portugal,
also
von
from Portugal. Really, from everywhere. All the others were here already once upon a time. Especially all who are here today for the first time. Then we have greetings from Swaziland, greetings from Tanzania, greetings from Vienna, greetings from the Ivory Coast, from Burundi, greetings from Brother Richard, greetings from Bucharest, greetings from Blantyre, Malawi, greetings from Burkina Faso, greetings from Brother Israel, once again greetings from Burundi, greetings from Goma, DRC, greetings from Brother Yannick, greetings from Brother Moses from Denver, Colorado, greetings from Goma, DRC, greetings from Ottawa, Canada, greetings from Brother Chilumba, or Chilumbo. Once again, a greeting from Denver. And once again, greetings from Pakistan. Greetings from Ashdod, Israel.
And
then, as the last one, greetings from Kujir, Romania, with a remark that they are grateful for Brother Matthias Henrich, whom God used to bring the message under the people in the country of Romania. Then we have especially our brothers from the DRC who were present when we had these great meetings. You all know the smallest meeting was more than 3,000 people, and the largest, the greatest, was about 20,000 people. And today, together with Brother Tati, who was my interpreter, we looked at a photograph. It said, on the way to the airport, it said, there will come together a couple of brothers, and they just ask you to answer some questions. And when we arrived there, more than 8,000 people were gathered, to hear God's word. And in the first row, Brother Löscher is sitting, and Brother Dorfer, and they are listening, and they are watching what God has done. Especially our brother Joseph from Kinshasa. May God bless you in a special way. Then our brother from, what is that city called? Close to Angola, who was in my office just now. God bless you. May God bless all. You cannot imagine how much efforts our brothers made to plan all the meetings and to be there and to experience what God is doing in this time. Then I have two things. The one is the last missionary trip was quite difficult for me. There were the various steps from Frankfurt to Bangkok, and from Bangkok to Manila, and from Manila to Melbourne, and from Melbourne to Sydney, and from Sydney to Mackay, and all together it were 34 hours flight time with some interruptions in the various cities and countries to have meetings there. The time difference is 8 hours. The night becomes the day and the other way around. And the age doesn't stop with anyone. But we are grateful that God has given grace. And if one then sees that also in Australia, people are flying 4 hours. Whoever flies from Perth to Sydney has the same flight time as from Frankfurt to Tel Aviv. The same flight time. So I was very grateful that the brethren were coming, even driving in a car 16 hours, coming there from near and far to hear the word of the Lord. And especially when the brothers in Sydney and in Melbourne, they told me, Brother Frank, we accompany you. We are up to date in the kingdom of God. We accompanied you on your journey through the DRC. We heard all the meetings there. We experienced them. Just very mighty. What kind of possibilities there are at this moment. So that all can hear the word of God. And this just for your information now. In the moment, there are believers in 172 countries connected and are listening to the last message which God has entrusted to us. Everything is grace. Who was counting with this 50 or 60 or 30 or 40 years ago? And today, we can all witness this. Also our brothers who are translating into 12 different languages simultaneously, so that really all can tune in online. Being brought up to date in the kingdom of God. Then greetings from Brother Perry Green. And to make it very short, last Monday we spoke over the phone together. And he said to me, Brother Frank, It was really on my heart to come before the local church there and to confess there that 1979 I made the wrong decision. And then he said a couple of things. And then the remark, Brother Frank, I believe that your commission is as true as the commission of Paul on the way to Damascus. And this he repeated. Namely, yesterday we once again spoke over the phone. Two times he repeated the same thing. He himself, he cannot come. He had two cancer operations. He had chemotherapy. He cannot come. But he's greeting the church and he's joined with us. Then the remark, Brother Green was that man who together with Billy Paul Branham was on the same Bible school. And the ministry, he knew the ministry of Brother Branham many years. And then in the 60s, he was especially taking care that the sermons are transmitted via telephone, over telephone hookup, nationwide. And Brother Branham was really happy about it. Brother Green was that man who, as the first one, came to the accident. Who brought Brother Branham into hospital. He was there when the nurse told him at 16 hours, 49 minutes, Brother Branham took the last breath. And he was the man who arranged the funeral. And he was singing the song, Only Believe, Only Believe. And he was the one whom I invited at the funeral in 1966 to give testimony of that, what he experienced in the meetings of Brother Branham, what he has seen and what he has heard. In many cities and countries, we testified of it until the decision was made, to which also others become prey. But with God, all things are possible. Whoever didn't cross the red line and whoever didn't sin against the Holy Spirit, one person. And this I will never forget. This was the most terrible hit which struck me 1979. When this person was standing before me and said, God didn't send you, the devil called you. And in that moment I knew, this is not addressed against me. This is directed against the Lord. And no one else knew it so good as that person of the commission, of the sending, of that what God did until 79 in 85 different countries. But with God, is still grace. He forgives
whatever
has happened in ignorance. And as long as there is the time of grace, so long all can come and all can believe and all can get saved. There is still forgiveness. There is still grace. Only when the time of grace will be over, then it is too late forever. So, be grateful to God to have made the right decision at the right moment. Be grateful that the Lord has opened unto you the understanding for the Scripture. Just imagine, there could be the greatest man of God coming on the scene. If God doesn't give grace, then the people cannot believe. And our Lord, of course, said it in John 8:24. If you don't believe that I am He, then you will die in your sin. Unbelief is just deadly. Unbelief is deadly. And faith, the true belief, makes alive and leads and joins us together with God. Today, we will not deal with that, what is going on the earth. Perhaps just one little remark concerning Israel, how the negotiations are taking their course. And just two words are there, two words in the headline, in the press and in the media, namely peace and safety. About this, all politicians are speaking now. And Paul, of course, has written it in 1 Thessalonians, in chapter 5, when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child. And concerning Israel, we really have just a heart for everyone. And whoever looks at the world map, on the surroundings around Israel, he must seek for a long time, he must search a long time before he finds that little point. The Arabic world is 990 times larger than the tiny Israel. And the tiny little Israel, this shall be destroyed. All the area is of course here. All have space, enough. But let us come quickly to the point. That the four judgment angels, which according to Revelation 9 are bound at the river Euphrates, bound on day, hour, and year, and month, so that the third part of the earth can be destroyed. I noted it down. The river Euphrates is 2,270 kilometers long, coming from Turkey up down to the Persian Gulf. Everywhere there's enough space, but there where the cradle of mankind stood, there where paradise was, here Bashra means in the German language paradise. There where mankind started, from there on, it will find its end. But before this comes, the Lord will take away the church. We will not go through this tribulation period. And brothers and sisters, when we were singing these godly songs of the grace, of the love of God, tell me, what could God do more than to make true His offer of grace and to come Himself to us, to accomplish the redemption and to shed His holy and precious blood for the forgiveness and reconciliation. We have it in the Word, which Paul has written to the Church of Colossians. We read it already. This is the full gospel. This is the full salvation. And tell me, who can dare to reject the offer of grace? Today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your heart. It's of course not only about a message which God has given to us by His grace. Firstly, it is about that each individual is getting saved, and saved can only be who sees and recognizes himself as lost and knows I'm without God, I'm without hope in this world, and I'm lost. Just as the sick need a physician, so need we, as the lost ones, the Savior. And all who come to the Lord, up to today, He didn't cast out anyone. Until today, He stretched forth His hands, His arms, and says to everyone, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest unto your souls." Today, we will have the Lord's Supper. And to illuminate it from the Old Testament of what it's actually about, man was created in the image of God for the fellowship with Him. He should live eternally. And then came the trial, then came the test, then came the unbelief, the doubt, then came the fall. And once for all, mankind was separated from God, given over to death. And nothing is as sure in life as death. And after the fall, the Lord God has said, let man not stretch forth his hand, and let him not eat from the tree of life, to live eternally. Then man would have had eternal life in his sinful state. And therefore, the Lord God had to drive away Adam and Eve from paradise. And then the plan of salvation, especially what God has shown to Moses and what He revealed to him. And here, I would like to read a couple of scriptures to show us the plan of salvation in detail from the beginning, especially from Exodus chapter 4, we have the hint how God has called out, how He really called out, namely, them whom He ordained to it. Exodus chapter 4, verse 22. Exodus 4, 22. And thou shalt say unto Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord, Israel is my son, even my firstborn. And I say unto thee, let my son go, that he may serve me. It's just a leading out which took place because God has blessed his people via Abraham. In Exodus chapter 6, the Lord God reveals his redemption name in the Old Testament. In Hebrew, there are written four letters, J-H-W-H. And from these four letters, the name Yahweh came up, the Lord as Savior. Here it's written in Exodus chapter 6, verse 2. And God spake unto Moses and said unto him, I am the Lord. Here for the first time, the covenant name of the Lord God, Yahweh, is written. Then in verse 3, and I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty. But by my name, Lord God, was I not known to them. YHWH. At the time of the leading out, God revealed his covenant name to his covenant people by his grace. And then came the calling out, let my people go, let my people go. But the Exodus took only place when the lamb was slain. And every family was eating the slain lamb and was applying the blood to the doorposts. And the Lord God said, when I see the blood, then I will pass over you. Exodus 12, from verse 1 up to verse 13, everything is described. And here, in verse 13, we read, Exodus 12, 13, and the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you. So, and now the great question, no religion, but a sacrifice, not something, but blood. And how often did we say it here? Because the original sin happened in the body of flesh and blood. Therefore, the Lord already in the Old Testament had to take the lamb and slaughter it, have it slaughtered, and to have the blood applied to the doorposts, until John the Baptist in the New Testament could say, behold, this is the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. Already in all of the Old Testament, the plan of salvation of the New Testament was foretold, was foreshadowed. Then we have in Leviticus in chapter 16, this wonderful insight, Leviticus 16, the insight into that, what happened on the great day of reconciliation of our God, how the Lamb was sacrificed. Here, Leviticus 16, chapter 16, I read firstly only verse 2. And the Lord said unto Moses, speak unto Aaron, thy brother, that he come not at all times into the holy place within the veil before the mercy seat, which is upon the ark, that he die not. For I will appear in the cloud upon the mercy seat. The lid of the Ark of the Covenant was on the Ark. This lid. And I brought it with me on purpose. That's how it looked like. The Ark of the Covenant. That's how it looked like. In the ark was that what God said to Moses. And upon this cover, upon this lid of the ark, the blood should be applied. So that all who were judged and damned by that what is written there, that they are set free by the blood, vindicated by the blood, finding grace with God. One really has to read it up in the Old Testament. For instance, when we read in Hebrews chapter 9, that our Lord went behind the veil, bringing there his own blood, sacrificing his own blood. Hebrews chapter 9 from verse 3. Hebrews chapter 9 from verse 3. Here it's written. Hebrews 9 verse 3. And behind the second veil, the tabernacle which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden censer and the ark of the covenant overlaid around about with gold, wherein was the golden pot that had manna and Aaron's rod that budded, and the tablets of the covenant, the tablets of the covenant, the treaty with God and his people was lying in the ark of the covenant, and upon this ark was the blood applied on the day of reconciliation. And in the New Testament we read that our Lord and Savior, as the high priest, he entered with his own blood into the holiest of holies and applying it there for us. Verse 5, and over it the cherubims of glory shadowing the mercy seat, shadowing the mercy seat, of which we cannot now speak in particular, in detail. Let us just read from verse 11 in Hebrews chapter 9. But Christ, come as high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the most holy place, having obtained an eternal redemption for us. Obtaining an eternal redemption. There no man can change anything, no enemy. Eternal redemption. Before we come to other places in the New Testament, especially in Romans, Paul, has set it forth time and again, showing it to us. Romans, chapter 4, we read
in
verse 25, Romans chapter 4, verse 25, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. This is a perfect redemption which the Lord God has given to us by his grace. In Romans 5, verse 1, we read the wonderful words of the faith and of the justification. Romans 5, from verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, are you justified? Did you receive it, accept it? Believe in the divine justification. Nothing is imputed to you. Everything was laid upon the Lamb. We have part in the eternal redemption, and all of the past is not valid anymore, but only that what God has done in our lives by his grace. Let us read it once again in Romans 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, unbelief is in our way. Faith, belief, opens us the access. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Dear soul, have you the peace of God? Do you have the grace of God? Did you experience the grace of God personally? Today is the day of salvation. Today is a special day. Today, no one shall go from here being lost, but all shall have part in the redemption, in the forgiveness. In Romans chapter 5, in verse 9, we read, much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Not you justified yourself, not I, but by his blood, justified by his blood, which was laid upon the ark. So there's now no condemnation anymore for them who are in Christ Jesus. The sentence the Redeemer took upon himself. Then we read here in chapter 5, also the verses 12 and 13. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, And so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. Yes, this is a fact. Who remained here? Who remained here? All who have come here went also from here. And now comes something wonderful. So that we know in short for what the law was given for. In Romans 5, verse 13. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. If the Lord wouldn't have said, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not slander, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not covet, then no man would know it. But God said it. He has given the law to convict us from the trespasses so that His grace can rule in our lives. The gospel and all of the plan of salvation of our God is just wonderful. From Romans 5, also the verses 18 and 19. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. As in Adam, all die, so all are brought to life in Christ. Then verse 19, for as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so likewise, by the obedience of one, listen closely, by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Obedient unto the death on the cross. What does the Lord God require from us? Just a full devotion, no inner resistance, just believing and trusting and being obedient towards that what the Lord has given to us by His grace and commanded to us by His grace. Then we are coming still to Romans chapter 8. Romans 8, verse 29 and 30. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. This is the gospel. This is the gospel which we may preach. Obedient unto the death on the cross. Bringing the sacrifice. No one needs to get lost. All can get saved. And then the completion of the redemption work in verse 30 in Romans 8. Verse 30. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called, and whom He called, them He also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. Given it. With God, everything is completed already. We are just waiting for the return of the Lord and for the changing of our bodies from mortality into immortality. Peter summarized it like this in 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. Here we have that what was important for the man of God and what he left to us in his epistle. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, in view to our Lord, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we are healed. We were healed. This is the gospel, the full gospel. It is finished. And therefore, you can also understand me. When we bring this precious message to the people, then we want that it is received. We are having pain for all who reject, for all who think to get saved by some kind of ritual of a church. Up to this day, no church has ever saved any man. The Lord God saves through the faith in Jesus Christ our Lord. Everything else is in the way of God, and this we don't need. Then there's a wonderful word in the Old Testament, in the prophet Micah, the Lord said already how he will deal with sin and what will happen when it is so far. And how it has happened then. Micah, chapter 7, the last three verses. Micah, chapter 7, the last three verses. 18. Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever, because he delighteth in mercy. Already in the Old Testament, not holding fast to wrath, but delighting in mercy. And now comes the tremendous. He will turn again to us. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue all our iniquities and will cast all their sins into the depth of the sea. Into the depth of the sea. And somebody said, right over the sea, there's the headline, fishing forbidden. Fishing forbidden. In the sea, right down to the bottom. Fishing forbidden.
Amen.
No one needs to make efforts here to find something. Nothing can be found anymore. Drowned in the sea, drowned to the bottom of the sea. This is the gospel. Already in the Old Testament. And so we see already in verse 20, thou wilt perform the truth to Jacob and the mercy to Abraham, which thou hast sworn unto our fathers from the days of old. Just very powerful. Already in the Old Testament announced Psalms 103, who forgiveth thee all thy sins and who healeth all thy sickness, who saves thee from destruction and who crowneth thee with mercy and loving kindness. And then Isaiah 53. He took upon himself our sin, our sickness. Everything he took upon himself. And then by his stripes we were healed. All of the Old Testament testified of that, what God has decided and purposed in his plan of salvation. And then we see our Lord and Savior when he became man. He became man, but he remained Lord. The great I Am. For our sakes, he had to become like us according to the body, found in the fashion as a man, to be able to die. And behold, in Psalms 22, when he took your place and my place, when he cried out in your state and my state, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? This was that moment when all our sin and guilt was laid upon him, the Lamb of God. And in the next moment came to fulfillment, God was in Christ and reconciled the world with himself. From one moment to the other, the redemption was accomplished. And by the resurrection of our Lord, he proved it, that he conquered death. Death, where's thy sting? Hell, where's thy victory? We mentioned it last Wednesday, as written in Leviticus 3, of the serpent. In Genesis 3, he will sting in your heel and you will crush his head. Not stinging in the hip, not stinging somewhere, but the heel. You know what the heel is? The heel. Not so. If you make a step, then the foot is coming up, and then comes the sting into the heel. This was very good like that, because when the sting came, then our Lord could crush the head of the serpent, and he has given the victory by his grace. Hell, where is thy victory? Death, where is thy sting? Blessed and praised be our Lord and God. Every word of God has its place. And we may give all the glory to our Lord. And for that, that that we could recognize the plan of salvation in our time and not passing over it, by it. And all who found grace in the sight of God, they will recognize what the Lord is doing in our time according to His word, by His grace. We cannot go here into detail. Let us rejoice about the accomplished redemption, that we became children of God by His grace, that we really said no to disobedience. And as Paul has written, as obedient children of God, living a well-pleasing life to our God, even in all the trials, in the midst of all tests, the Lord is going with us, and He will carry us through by His grace. Today we have the Lord's Supper as a memorial to the finished work of redemption. And all four Gospels report about it, be it Matthew 26, be it Mark 14, be it Luke 22, all the Gospels write about it. And whether it's John 13, all are reporting about that, what happened at that time, about the treason, about the crowning with the thorns, about Gethsemane, about the way to the cross. And our Lord, really, He walked the most difficult way which one could ever walk. And He took everything upon Himself. And He has given us a perfect redemption by His grace. Let us read two or three verses from the Gospels. Matthew 26. Matthew 26. Verse 28 and 29. For this is my blood, the blood of the new covenant. Just say amen. The blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Not the wine was poured out, but the Lamb of God shed its precious and holy blood for the remission of our sins. The blood of the new covenant. Not as in Exodus 12 or in Exodus 24 that the lamb was taken. No. Here, the Lamb of God. Behold! This is the Lamb of God. That's how the preparer of the way said it at the first coming of Christ. Behold! The Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. And here, our Lord and Savior, before He entered with His own blood, the Holy of Holies, He has said, for this is my blood, the blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Receive it. Receive it. It happened for you. It happened for me. It happened for us, but it has to be received and accepted. In Mark chapter 14, we read Mark chapter 14,
verse 24,
Mark 14. Actually, one should read from verse 22. And as they did eat, so while the Pesach, Jesus took bread and blessed it, and broke the bread, and gave it to them, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." Then he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank of it. And then, again, in reference to his blood, in verse 24, and he said unto them, "This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many." And then in reference to the cup, he says in verse 25, "Verily, I say unto you, I will drink no more of the fruit of the wine until that day that I drink it new in the kingdom of God."
Amen.
We all were invited to the Lamb, to the supper of the Lamb, and we are waiting that the Lord takes us home, and then together with him we will celebrate the Lord's Supper. Then in Luke 22, also here we have that what the Lord said. Luke 22,
Verse 19 and 20.
And he took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." Likewise, also the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you." We have all these wonderful scriptures which our Lord has given to us. And by the Holy Scripture, we have really the overall orientation until the Gospel of John, chapter 13, this loving disciple of Jesus. It was very important for him, to write what has happened after the meal, after the supper. Our Lord washed the feet of the disciples. John 13, from verse 4. He rises from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poureth water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with a towel wherewith he was girded. When we read on here, then we see precisely what has happened on that day. And then we come to verse 12. verse 12. John 13, verse 12. So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, well, for so I am. Verse 14, if I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. Then comes the mighty verse. Verily, verily, I say unto you, a servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. So, no one may exalt himself above the Lord or the Word. The Lord has spoken the last word, and we believe with all our hearts what he told us. Let us summarize it. The perfect redemption which God has given to us, we receive it gratefully. And once again, we address the wonderful word from 2 Corinthians 5 to all. As Paul has expressed it then, we pray you in Christ's stead. We say as his messengers in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled with God. This is the divine message. The great day of reconciliation with God, with mankind, took place. The high priest, our Lord and Savior, he entered the Holy of Holies. He has put his blood upon the mercy seat. All the condemnation, everything was taken from us. His blood speaks louder than the blood of Abel. Reconciliation, grace, forgiveness, and salvation. We have it. We could receive it by his grace. Then also with the foot washing. I'm honest. I only practiced the foot washing here in the church after I was in the tabernacle of Brother Branham, and I experienced it there, that after the supper, the foot washing took place. For me, it was also new. But I said to myself, if the greatest man of God of our time counted it necessary to do it, what the Lord commanded, who am I? And since that time, when I returned, we also had the Lord's Supper and the foot washing. And we are just grateful that we may believe, and doing in obedience, proving in obedience, that we don't have our faith in the head, but that we have faith in our hearts, which joins us with obedience. The faith, as the scripture says, joins us with obedience. I can still remember it. a very well-known Pentecostal preacher in Eastern Europe, a missionary. He spoke perfect Russian, Polish, German, English, and he was laughing about it. And he said, "Oh, foot washing. I let my shoes be polished. No, no, not with me. Not with me. Every word of God is holy. And as it is written, a servant is not greater than his master. And when the Lord and Master washed the disciples' feet, what shall I do as a servant? I want to be submitted to the Lord, and I want to do what he has said in his word." Then there was the question, who can partake of the Lord's Supper? I say this. I say it as I see it. No age is told us in the scripture, but of our Lord, when he became man, we know of his birth, we know of his circumcision on the eighth day, and then we know of him when he was 12 years old, and when he made a pilgrimage journey to Jerusalem to speak there with the scribes about the word of God. He spoke so deeply that his mom and dad, Mary and Joseph, they were traveling 3 days going home and not even noticing that he's missing, that he's not with them at all. Not with them at their pilgrimage journey. And when they returned to Jerusalem, they found him there where they left him, in the conversation with the scribes in the temple. And out of this, I took it that the full age in the presence of God starts with the age of 12. I have no more scripture for it. But be honest, when we start to give the Lord's Supper to children, where do we stop? Where do we stop? First, the redemption must be accepted and received. First, the Holy Spirit must convict us of sin. First, we must be saved to then also celebrate the Lord's Supper in a worthy way. So, all who by grace received and accepted the redemption just feel free, as the Holy Scripture says it to us. I read it to you in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and then also in chapter 11. Here, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 16 and 17, 1 Corinthians 10, verse 16 and 17, the cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? So, the fellowship, the fellowship we must have by the blood. The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? It just belongs together. Then verse 17. For we, being many, are one bread and one body. For we are all partakers of that one bread. Then chapter 11, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, here it's written from verse 23, For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body for you. This do in remembrance of me." After the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Verse 26. "For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." Then, of course, the admonition. "Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let every man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup." So, not one examines the other. Each one examines himself, and afterward let him eat. No one who has received and accepted the redemption, who has really become a Bible believer, and this is being recognized, whether we believe Mark 16:16, and whether we fulfill it by obedience, as written, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." Everything belongs together. And whoever, obedience is the most important with believers. Disobedience is as the sin of witchcraft. And all of the religious world is entangled in disobedience. The true redeemed have been taken out from disobedience, taken out from unbelief, have been called out from all traditions. We are an inheritance of the Lord, redeemed, purchased by the blood of the Lamb. We are God's eternal inheritance, as we have heard and as we have read. Then something else. All who are in other countries, concerning all who are in other countries, we, at this place, we put the emphasis to say on that, that we have a cup. And in our meeting here, because we see our meeting here, here are four segments, and we take four cups. But all of the American world, all the English-speaking world has no cup. They have 36 glasses. 36 glasses are being filled. And then again 36, depending how many partake. And this is absolutely unbiblical. I remember 1959, when the great evangelist from the USA, he came to Frankfurt, and he was celebrating this kind of supper, introducing this kind of supper. And I was the only one. According to my knowledge, I was the only one who didn't partake of it. All were crumbs, and everyone should just take of the crumbs, and everyone should take such a little glass. And then he would give the command in front, So now you can eat these crumbs and then a break, and now you can drink, not with me. We are just going to the Word of God. And brothers and sisters, although we look at this meeting, one cup here, and the two cups who are here, who are distributed right and left, one cup goes up to the balcony,
and then
the bread is distributed, and the people in the dining rooms receive also a cup, and you distribute it. And after the Lord's Supper, all brothers are coming up there, and all the sisters, they go down in the basement, and then we will have the foot washing. I hope that we all understood it, and that also these remarks are being received with your heart. Also there it's necessary that we are in unity, and that we know that's how it is biblical, and that's how it can be done at this place, well-pleasing to God. And so we may do it. To our God be the honor and the glory and the praise. All who have dedicated their lives to the Lord, and all who are ready on the inside to be baptized, this is already valid with the Lord. If you accepted the redemption and the forgiveness and the grace, the salvation of God, if you accepted it already, and if you are willing and ready to be baptized, then you can partake of the Lord's Supper already. May the Lord God bless this evening in a very special way, that really No one who has read from the Old and New Testament and who has heard it, the Gospel, from the great day of reconciliation, of the blood of the Lamb, which was applied in the Holy of Holies, on the mercy seat, and having obtained an eternal redemption, Receive it, and thank God for it. Then this day will be your greatest day, which the Lord has given to us and which He made for us. Amen.
Oh, Ich möchte uns den Chorus vorlesen.
I would like to read us the chorus.
Und so heißt es hier, nämlich nur durch Gottes Gnade
only by God's
kann
grace,
ich bestehen.
I can stand.
Von der Sünde frei, stetig
being
vorwärts
delivered
gehen.
Of sin, walking forward.
Nimmer zweifelnd.
Never doubting.
Halt ich tapfer stand.
I stand firm.
Denn die Gnade führt mich mit hoher Hand.
Because the grace leads me with a mighty hand.
Gut, singen wir ihn.
Nur Gottes Gnade kann ich bestehen, von der Sünde frei, stetig vorwärts gehen. Nimmer zweifelt mehr, halt ich tapfer stand, denn die Gnade führt mich mit hoher Hand. Nur durch Gottes
praise and thanks be unto the Lord. I from my side am grateful to the Lord for the grace. And as the songwriter expressed it, we all know this chorus, I am one of them whom the grace of God has found. And we are the pardoned ones of God. This we have heard today, and we are grateful for this mighty privilege.
Now,
we have come to the end tonight, and we have one request for all of you. We go peacefully, in quietness of our Lord, we depart from here. We don't speak much now, but let us ponder upon that what the Lord has spoken to us through His Word. And let us remember that what we have done here in memorial, in remembrance of the Lord, that we took part to proclaim the death of the Lord, but not only the death, but also His resurrection. And for this we are grateful to the Lord. Once again, go to bed quietly and leave everyone in peace. God willing, we come together tomorrow to hear again what the Lord has to say to us. Praise be to Him. Then I have a watch. Whoever is missing a watch can fetch it here. And now we stand up for the closing prayer. Heavenly Father, we say thank you from the bottom of our hearts for this day which you have given us by having fellowship together with you in your word, fellowship in that what you have left to us in remembrance of you. Lord, that we have part of your body, having part in that what you have done for us. Please bless us all. Bless all who are here and bless all who are scattered and who have heard all over. We ask you for your blessing now. If there is a tomorrow, Lord, give us all the grace. Prepare our hearts, open them, and give grace that the things are said which must be said through your word. My God, reveal it to us. Please bless the lips through which you will speak tomorrow. We thank you for it. Please be with us. Dismiss us in your blessing. Amen. Hallelujah be praised.
Hallelujah sei Gott.